Well, it's a fascinating day in many ways, isn't it? And there's some interesting things, of course, going on in our scripture passages, because there always is. If nothing else, I find it ironic, as when it was pointed out to me that the gospel reading for the liturgy of the Passion is the one in which Pilate washes his hands, which seems unusually suitable for this time in our lives when everyone's washing their hands so much more, but for so much better reason. But as I was thinking of this poem, Passion Sunday, and the combination of the two, which has arisen as a response to the legitimate change of circumstance for so many people, where a Good Friday service is now virtually impossible. These days, it's literally impossible. In groups of 10 or less, and perhaps even smaller than that, it's just not the same, is it? We grew up with a Palm Sunday, which was filled with celebration. We left in celebration and came back on Friday to deal with the Passion, but now we're combining them, and perhaps we've lost something, and I'm not going to say one way or the other whether it's good or bad, but it's just the way things are. So I was looking at what can we take from this peculiar day, and that's where the sermon title comes from. We're a bit of both. Why do we think we can do both poem and passion in one day? Because this Sunday, in a very real sense, encapsulates the reality of life. Not the day-to-day of life, not every experience of every day, but the ends, the extremes of life that we all experience. We've all had good days, we've all had bad days. And if we're not careful, we'll take the day we have and say, this is the only kind of day we have. We'll say we only have good days, so we are terribly disappointed when we have a day that is just normal, is just okay. Or we tell ourselves that the only kind of days we have are bad days. And so when a good day comes, or even a normal day, we don't even recognize it for it, and we spend all of our time looking for what's wrong with it when there isn't anything. We're all doing that even more so now. As we are in lockdown, as we are sheltering in place, as some of us have been in enforced isolation, some perhaps even into formal quarantine, we have this opportunity to experience both ends. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what examples do I have that are real, that are connected to the real world? And the first one that came to mind was my most recent birthday. As I think I've mentioned before, we didn't have huge plans for my birthday. I mean, turning 58 is just really another day. 58 doesn't really connect with much. But we were going to at least do something, and then we couldn't. And so that could have made it a bad day. And in some ways it did, because we didn't get to do what we were planning on doing. But what we did get was my very first experience with an online birthday party that included people who wouldn't have been able to come otherwise. My brother in Ottawa wouldn't have been able to come for my birthday, especially such an inconsequential birthday as 58. My brother and sister-in-law in Saskatoon probably wouldn't have come down. I'm certain my niece in Saskatoon wouldn't have come down for a birth, like a fifth. No, it just wouldn't make sense. But they were there online through Zoom, the same way we're doing today. It was lovely. My brother in Regina and his wife and their kids, who possibly would have come over, joined us with Zoom as well. And so we had all of those people. We had kids and cats and dogs. It was lovely. It wasn't what I expected. It was both. Because I was still sad that I couldn't see my grandkids in particular and play with them, and they couldn't celebrate with me, but still, it was a birthday. It was both. I think back a number of years, not very many for lots of you in this meeting, but enough for us, 28 years, I guess, since I got married. My wedding day was the happiest day of my life. How can it not be? Heather and I were the center of attention. We got to do everything we wanted. People went out of their way to help us have a good day and to take care of problems for us. It was delightful. My mother wasn't there. She died less than a year before. So which one did I focus on? I didn't need to focus on one to the exclusion of the other, because it's both. That's life. Life is both of those things. It's the good and the bad. It's the mixture together. And when we look at this Sunday, and when we look at Palm Sunday, we look at Good Friday, Easter Sunday, if we look at this Holy Week, we see them both. We see the adulation of the crowds on one end. In the middle, we see the suffering and death. And then on the other end, we see the ultimate victory. But it's both. And I think this year, as we are all struggling with what it means to live in a pandemic, to live with this extraordinary amount of worry that I think most of us have, worry about our friends, our family, ourselves. Some are worrying about jobs, about what it's going to mean on the other side. How will the new normal be for us? Will it be good or bad? Will it be better or worse? We simply don't know. In this Holy Week, we have perhaps the most uncertainty we've ever had. That's one end. But at the other end of Holy Week, we have the ultimate certainty that Jesus loves us. That Jesus, that God, in the mysterious and miraculous connection of the human and the divine in the form of Jesus, loved us enough to come to live with us as another human being, to demonstrate what it means to follow God in the real world, who then suffered and died, but more than that, but so much more than that, rose again. As we work through these next few days of Holy Week, whether we're doing online services, a Monday, Thursday service, a Good Friday service, or whether it's our own observations, however those work, well, it's okay to feel both ends. It's okay to be troubled by the difficulties you have. It's okay to enjoy the delights you have, whether it's the antics of a pet, whether it's an online meeting with friends, family, grandkids, or grandparents, whatever it might be. It's okay to enjoy those too. Because in the same way that Jesus experienced the full range of human emotion, so can and should we. This week is not a week to pretend you're feeling something other than you are. In some ways, this is the same, for those of you who have been to any funeral I've been part of, this is the same message I give there. That in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of fear, if you're happy, be happy. And in the midst of good things, if you're reminded again of the concerns, the legitimate concerns you have about this pandemic, about the health of people you love, that concern is real also. And that mixing together that makes it so tricky to know what you're feeling is part of being human. So for this week, for this Sunday, remember that if you find yourself feeling both ends of what it means to be human, that's okay. And in a very real sense, the example of Jesus demonstrates this at its ultimate ends. We're called to be as much like Jesus as we can. And this is one of the ways that we can, by being ourselves, by being fully human. Amen.